This word for a couple of weeks or more now, actually. So I just pray, Lord, help me do this justice. And I have got my gorgeous assistant here to help me. But you may notice that I've brought these pictures forward. We have, Sonia's not actually in here, she's gone to do the kids' work, but you know Sonia. She is an amazing, gifted artist. And she's also a gifted prophet, and that gift is coming more and more to the fore. So, if you don't know Sonia, get to know her, because she's an amazing woman of God. And she's got these two pictures here of the River of God. As you can see, they're both very different in style. They're both done by Sonia, but they're both of the same topic. We've got the river. And we are doing this series on the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to be talking today about the river. And to help me do that, I've got my gorgeous assistant who is going to read. So can you turn with us, please, to Ezekiel? The back end of the book of Ezekiel. We're in Ezekiel chapter 47. Yeah, if you've got your Bibles or your tablets or whatever else it is you've got. And we're going to read starting from verse 1. Okay? Yeah, when you're there.
The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple, because towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me round the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh." I'm just going to skip now to 12. "Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing."
Thanks, Jules. So there we go. And if you can see the pictures, you can see all of that very clearly. The river flowing out of the temple. There's the light in the corner on this one and the trees by the side and the fruit, all of that. So there's one or two things I want to bring out about this passage. First thing to note is that the river is flowing from the temple. It begins in the temple of God, which in Old Testament times was where the presence of God was. If you wanted to go to God anywhere on earth, you had to go to the temple in Jerusalem. That's where his presence was. And that's where the river flows from. Starts from there, and it comes out and goes on and on and on and on. Second thing about the river is that you note in verse, 3, 4, 5, and 6, as the river goes on, it gets deeper. So the further he goes, as this angel is shown in the river, it starts off ankle deep and knee deep and waist deep, and then it's... That's physically impossible. a river cannot get deeper and deeper and deeper as it goes from its source unless it's got tributaries flowing in which feed into it to give it more water, to make it deeper. This river only has one source, the temple of God. There's nothing else flowing in. And yet, it's getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. This is a clue that maybe we're not intended to totally read this literally. This is not necessarily a literal river. It's an image, it's a metaphor. Ezekiel was a prophet, and God is showing him visions of the future in what's known as an apocalyptic way, which means God's showing him these visions, these images, they're symbols and they're signs of things that are to come. And sometimes apocalyptic writing, if you've ever read Revelation, you know, it can be quite tricky to interpret. Some of it you think, what on earth does this mean? Well, parts of Ezekiel are like that. So we've got this river, and it's flowing from God's throne, and it's going deeper and deeper and deeper. Thirdly, notice the trees. On each bank, on either side, there are trees, he says. And what does it say about the trees? In verse 7, I can find verse 7 in mine. And a great number of trees on each side of the river. I'm in verse 12. Gives you a bit more detail in verse 12. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Trees that are always in fruit, and their leaves do not wither. Where have we heard that before? Trees whose leaves never wither. Well, it's in Psalm 1. We're not going to turn there now, but the very first psalm in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, it talks about the person who's following God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the way of sinners, nor stands in the way of the wicked, nor sits on the seat with mockers, but his delight or her delight is in the law of the Lord, and on their law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which bears its fruit in season, and his leaf does not wither nor fade. Whatever he does prospers. Whatever she does prospers. It's describing the person of God, who is sincerely following God. They're like a tree planted by the water. So are these trees people? Are these trees symbolic of people of God, maybe? Perhaps. And then finally, let's just notice one other thing about this river before we move on, and it's in verse 7 and 8. It flows towards the sea. And the sea, in my version, I don't know about yours, but the sea's got a capital S. It enters the sea, and when it enters into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Now, geographically, if you go down eastwards from Jerusalem, you get to the Dead Sea. And it's known as the Dead Sea because it's so full of salts and all sorts of things that it is literally dead. Nothing lives in it. But in the Old Testament, the sea often represents... sometimes it represents chaos and confusion and things where God is not, but it often represents the nations. The land is the land of Israel that God has given to his people, and the sea is all those sort of weird pagan godless nations out there, like the English and particularly the Scots and all of them. That's what the sea often represents. And scripturally, salt water, you can't drink salt water, it's not going to give you life. Spiritually, it's not going to give you life. But when the river of God flows into it, it makes it fresh. So you could drink it, and it would give you life. Yeah? Where are we so far? So, we've got a river flowing from the temple. It's getting deeper and deeper as it goes. And its water brings life to trees whose leaves bring healing. Notice, have I got to mention that? The leaves of the trees bring healing and they bear fruit. And it flows into the sea and it makes it fresh and clean and drinkable and life-giving like it was not before. Jules, do you want to come out again? We're going to turn now. We all right so far? Everything all? Yeah, I mean, it's all fairly straightforward, this, isn't it? Right, let's go to the back of the book, Revelation, chapter 22. We're going to go to Revelation 22, starting from verse 1. Those of you who've got Bibles, give you a minute to turn there. It's at the back. It's actually the very last chapter of the whole Bible. And if you haven't got a Bible, God bless you. But luckily, we have the wonderful Alison who's put it on the screen for us. Jules, whenever you're ready, darling.
The river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him.
Yes, we will. Thanks, Jules. So here we've got another description of a river. Yeah, what do we notice about this one? Well, first of all, it's flowing from the throne of God. Notice it's the throne of God and of the Lamb. Jesus is on the throne now as well. So we've got the throne of God, we've got the throne of the Lamb, the river is flowing from it through the city, and on either side of the river stands the tree of life. How's that work? One tree stood on two sides of the river, what's going on there? But there's a tree of life. And what does it do? It yields its fruit each month. And the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Pretty good. And no longer will be there be anything accursed, that says. My version says, no longer will there be a curse. The curse that was placed on the land and on us through Adam and Eve's sin has gone. There will be no more curse. Why not? Because the second Adam, Jesus, has taken it away. Romans 5. Adam came, disobeyed God. Through him, we all sin. Jesus comes, breaks that. And in Jesus now, we can all live righteous. So the curse has been lifted. So now, there is no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb, and his servants will worship him. And that's what we're doing. That's what we've been doing this morning. Isn't that fantastic? So what? Are these two different rivers then? We've got John at the end of the book, we've got Ezekiel roughly in the middle. There's about, give or take, there's about 650 years between when Ezekiel was writing and when John wrote. Are they writing about two completely different rivers? They're not, are they? Because if you notice how many similarities they are, it starts from where God is, it flows out, it's got the trees, it's got the fruit, the leaves of the trees for the healing. It's the same river. These two prophets are just being given visions of that river at different times, and they're writing it in their own personal styles, but it's the same river. Yeah? And it's a river of life. It's the river of the water of life, and it brings life, it brings fruitfulness, and it brings healing. And what's this river, what is this river actually? What's it symbolizing to us? Well, it's the Spirit of God. This is the series we're preaching on at the moment, isn't it? We're preaching about the Spirit. The river symbolizes the Spirit of God. The water of life, which flows out from God, and it flows out from Jesus, and it flows into each of us, and out of each of us, and away. And if you're not sure of that, I'm telling you the truth, turn with me now to John chapter 7, and let's see what Jesus has to say about it. John chapter 7, starting at verse 37, so we're well in, we're nearly in chapter 8. We there? There's a huge number of people who haven't got Bibles in this church. Dave, what are you doing? Okay. John 7, verse 37 says this. We're in Jerusalem. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." See that? By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. See, so Jesus is making it very clear. The streams of living water are the Holy Spirit. Yeah? But the Spirit can only be given after Jesus has been glorified. What's that mean? That means after he's been crucified, he's been resurrected, and he's ascended up into heaven, into the glory of his Father. So that's happened. Yeah? Now for Ezekiel, that's hundreds of years in the future. He doesn't really know anything about that. He just gets this picture of something way, way, way off. But John, writing Revelation, John had seen that happen. He was there when Jesus was crucified. He'd met the resurrected Jesus. He stood on the Mount of Olives and saw him go up with angels and vanish into heaven. John's seen it happen. And then the Holy Spirit of God, once Jesus is up there, the Holy Spirit then comes. And we read about that in Acts 2. So in Revelation, the angel is giving John a vision of a future. He's actually giving him a vision of the end times. By the time we get to Revelation 21 and 22, we're talking about the end of all ages. God says, "Behold, I make all things new. There'll be a new earth and a new heaven, and a new Jerusalem will come down from heaven to earth." And that's what John's describing. And this is what this city of God will be like, and it will have this river flowing from the throne. And there won't be any day and there won't be any night, because God and the Lamb will provide light all the time. And that's where this river is, and that's where it's flowing to. And that's why it's bringing healing to the nations. Yeah? And that's a future reality. And it's also, for John, at the time he's writing this, it's also a present reality, because the river of the Spirit began to flow on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Yeah? We read it, don't we? Disciples are all gathered together in one room. Jesus had said, "Wait here in Jerusalem until you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And it does. And guess what? They receive power and off they go. And by the end of Acts, you know, they've gone all over Israel. They've gone all over what is now Turkey and parts of what is now Iraq and Syria, and they're preaching the gospel all over the place, and there's churches all over the joint, because they're moving in the river of the Spirit of life. So like a lot of the New Testament is present and future. Yeah, like we often talk about the kingdom of God. It's now and it's not yet. The Spirit of God is with you now, and you are perfect and righteous before the throne of God now, but we're not quite yet fully there. It's both and, not either or. Do you see that? So God is the God who was and who is and who is to come. And in the future, there will be this city of God and there will be this river flowing through. And now there's a people of God and there is a river and it's called the Spirit and it flows through us. So who was here? Anybody here last week to hear Dave speaking? Oh, about three of us. Oh, slightly more. Well, Dave was talking about the Spirit, and one of the things he said was, if you're a Christian, you have the Spirit of God living in you. Didn't you, Dave? I think you talked about the personal presence of God dwelling within us. And we can be prayed for, and we can pray to get more of the Spirit, because he lives and dwells within each of us. Paul says, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in you, in me. So that Spirit is in us now. So this river that John sees in the future, which is in the future, is also in the present right now. It's the Spirit of God, it's the waters of life, and it's in you and it's in us. And it's flowing through us all the time. It's just here. It is. It's a vision of the future, it's a vision of the present. Does that make sense? Yeah. You're all looking at me like, you know, huh? But this is amazing stuff. So thinking about these pictures then, where are we? Where are we in these pictures? Because there's a real danger, I think, both in reading the scriptures and in looking at the pictures, which nearly rhymes, that we see ourselves as spectators. We're over here looking Oh, yeah, there's the river of God. Oh, yeah, there's the tree of life. Oh, there's the fruit. Oh, yeah. And you can read it in the book. Oh, yeah, that's nice. But we're not spectators, are we? That's not where Scripture says. That's not where the Bible puts us. Yeah? We're not spectators watching this river flow by going, oh, isn't that nice? Where are we? We're in it. We're in that river. We've got the Spirit of God living in us now. Yeah? All of us. If you're a Christian here, you've got any Christians in the building today, apart from me? Oh, loads. Ah, at the top. Hallelujah. We've got the Spirit of God in us right now. Yeah? So, in terms of this picture, we're in the river, floating along. We're just there. Why? Because we've got the Spirit in us, and it comes out of us in what we say and what we do and how we behave and who we are and when we sing all this wonderful stuff. So we're in the river. We're part of that river flowing away. God's Spirit flowing right through our middles. Now, some of us may be deeper than others may be, but we're all in it. If you're a believer, you're in it. Is that making sense? I'm glad, Russell. Okay, so let's move on a bit further then. What if we all walk out the door now and we walk up to the toll bridge and I jump in the ooze? Right? 5 minutes later, 3 minutes later, will I still be in the same place? Why not? Because I'll have been swept downriver. Yeah? The current, I mean, I would drown, you're quite right. The current will sweep me along. I'm not going to stay in the same place because that's not the way rivers work, is it? Yeah? That makes sense? Dave, you sure? I could be swept upstream if it's going that way. Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, the only way to avoid being swept away would be if I was swimming like Matt. If I was like Carl, you know, I could swim brilliantly and I could swim against the tide and I could get myself to the bank and I could drag myself out puffing and panting and somebody would give me that life thing and all the water would come out of my lungs and I'd be alive again. Otherwise, I'd be swept away. Now, it's the same with us. Same is true here. As Christians, we're in the river. We are in the river. God's put us in it. When you got saved and you gave your heart to God and he said, okay, I'll have your heart, Henry. Here's my Spirit. You're in the river. You're in it. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to get swept along. And as Ezekiel says, as you go, it gets deeper. So at first it's only ankle deep and that's not bad and we can handle that. It's easy. And then it gets a bit deeper and then it gets a bit deeper, and now I'm starting to get a little bit, and then it's getting deeper. I don't have to do anything for God to take me deeper, because I'm going to get swept along in the river. You're being swept along in the river of God, if you're a Christian and if you've got the Spirit in you. Yeah, but some of us are resisting. Some of us are going, no, I don't. I want to stay where I am. I don't want to go down. Oh, I don't want to end up where Teresa is. I want to get me out of here. Really? Do we really want to get out of here? Not sure. Now, the river will sweep you off your feet ultimately, and God will take us out of our comfort zones. Taking me way out of my comfort zone. But it's brilliant. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's just amazing. But the old saying goes, doesn't it? The Spirit of God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to go where you don't want to go. So if you don't want to get swept along, yeah, that's okay. You'll say, all right, then, you know. But you're going to be stood on the bank watching it go. And you don't want that. None of us want that. God wants us to be in the river because he wants us to be swept away in his love and in his grace and in his Spirit and his wonderfulness. Why does he want that? Well, two reasons. Number one, because he loves us. And number two, what are the trees' leaves for? Healing of the nations. Yeah? He wants to bring healing to the nations through us. Now, if you're Ezekiel writing in Babylon in AD 590, England's a far-off nation. If you're John writing on the Isle of Patmos off the coast of Turkey in AD 60-odd, England's a very far-off nation. So these trees that bring the leaves bring healing to the nations, that's like, oh, it's miles away. But not anymore. The leaves of the Spirit of God that brings healing to the nations is here now. It's in this country, isn't it? Came here a long, long time ago. The river of life came to Selby 950 years ago this year in the shape of some monks who came and founded a monastery and eventually built an abbey and eventually the town grew. The only reason Selby's here is because a load of Christians came 950 years ago. And the only reason they came is because God said, go there. Yeah? Sail in. And bring healing to this nation. See that? And so now the river of God is here in Selby still, and it's flowing right through this church, isn't it? See what I mean? In terms of the flow of the Spirit, have you not noticed? How many people have noticed, like, the worship? Now, Teresa sails off down this river every week, and she carries us with her. Isn't that right? Have you noticed the worship's getting deeper? Had people noticing that? Yeah, quite a few nods. Okay, how many people would say, truthfully, you are not the same now as you were, say, this time last year? That, just stand up, let's give God some glory here. I am not the man I was 12 months ago. Look around, how many people are standing up in this room? Look, look. The river of God is flowing through these people, through us, and he's changing us. Why is he doing that? Because he loves us. Okay, thank you, you can sit down. Isn't that just glorious? How amazing to be in a church where when you say, how many people is God changing? Like almost everybody stands up. It's wonderful. And it's proof that this river flows right through us. Yeah? Flowing right through us. And also, you know, we're growing. There's fruit. That's the fruit. Where's the fruit in your life? Well, this has happened and that has happened. So it's bringing fruit. Fruit's on that side. It's bringing fruit. It's bringing life. It's bringing healing. People in this church been healed in the last year or so? Quite a few. Yeah. Physical illnesses. We've had some seriously amazing. Once at the bar, I didn't even know you were here, Naomi. Welcome. See, God's on the move. And it's all because the river of the Spirit of life is on the move. Is that making sense? Yeah? Are we okay with that? Can we go another 1,000 cubits further on? Is that okay? All right then, this is where it does get a bit deep. What if this river doesn't only symbolize the Spirit of God moving? What if it also symbolizes us? What if the river, yeah, the river is the Spirit, of course it is, but what if it's also you and me? Let's think about that for a minute. Are you the river? Am I the river? Me? Well, how is the Spirit going to flow out to this nation? How's it going to flow out to the citizens of Selby? Through us. How are they going to hear? You know, what's it say about how will they hear? How will they know unless they hear? How will they hear unless somebody tells them? Blessed are the feet of those that bring good news. I'm probably misquoting horribly there, but you know what I mean. So the Spirit is going to move here because we're going to go and do it. Not because we're all, but we're doing it anyway, aren't we? We're talking to people, we're sharing things with people. How are people going to be healed? How is this nation going to be healed unless we pray for them? It's not going to happen just because the Spirit of God is going, oh. They don't even know. They're all in Costa and Morrison's. What do they know? So it's going to happen because, you know, we're doing it, aren't we? We are doing this. I'm not saying, this is not a, hey people, you've got to get out there. This is an encouragement. There's a sense in which, if you can handle it, there is a sense in which this river is us. And we're flowing. And we're bearing fruit. And we're bringing healing to the nations. And we're bringing life. The river is the Holy Spirit, but it also represents the Spirit-filled people of God, which just in this case happens to be thee and me. Yeah? We have eaten from the tree of life. One of the things in Genesis, there's a lot of Genesis echoes through all of this. If you go back and read these scriptures, there's an awful lot of echoes of Genesis. There's a river, there's a tree of life, there's fruit, there's God in the midst of man. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of Genesis-y echoes. But one of the things in Genesis is, you know, you can eat from any of the trees you want, but don't eat from the tree of life. No, sorry, I'm getting that completely wrong. Ignore me. You can eat from any, there's a tree of life, and there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you can eat from any of the trees you want, but don't eat from the knowledge of good and evil, because it won't do you any good. So what do? They eat from the wrong one. We've eaten from the tree of life. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. We are people who have eaten from the tree of life, and we are going to live forever. And we've got that life within us now. And we've got fruitfulness within us now. And we've got the Spirit of God, which can heal the nations in us right now. We are not passive spectators. God has chosen us to be in this river, in the move of God in this nation. Dave frequently talks about, you know, how on earth did God, why did God choose me, he says, don't we? We can all say that. What on earth? Me? Are you kidding? Well, no, God's not kidding. He really did choose me because he knows better than I do. Isn't that just amazing? When you pause for a moment and just think about that, God specifically chose you to put his Spirit in you so you can eat from the tree of life, so you can live forever, and you can be part of this wonderful river of the Spirit of God that's flowing. It's been flowing for 2,000 and odd years, and it's going to flow on throughout the whole of eternity. And we're in it. And God chose you specially to be part of that. Isn't that fantastic? So you don't want to be a spectator. Yeah? Because God is taking us deeper. We've just seen all those people who stood, which is basically testimony that this church is on the move. Spiritually on the move. Because God's taking us deeper and deeper. And as he goes, we're changing. And we're getting healed. And bad attitudes are dropping off. And things are changing. And he's moving in our lives. And he's going to carry on doing that. That's his plan. And there's going to be more. Please, what I want to say to you, as God starts to carry, as you get deeper in this river, a point will come where your feet are off the ground and you're just being carried. Don't resist him. Don't panic. Don't go, oh, too much, oh, get me out of here. I remember years ago, I wish Carl was here, he could probably do this a bit better than me about swimming, but I remember years, if you lie, have you ever done this? If you lie back in water, like in the bath or in a swimming pool, and the water's coming higher and higher, and it gets to you and it goes past your ears and all your hearing goes funny, and then it kind of stops about here, and your face is above the water. Yeah, have you found that experience? Because there's a natural buoyancy in us. So if you just lie back in a bath or in a calm swimming pool, you won't sink because you've got a buoyancy. And years ago, God spoke to me about that. I was in the bath and I'm lying back, and the water's coming up and up and up, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going under any second. And I didn't. It stopped there. Just with my sort of eyes and nose and mouth above the waterline. And God spoke to me about that. And he said, this is what faith's like. You just lie back and you can trust me. It's going to be all right. Now, Carl, were he here, would tell you that the minute you go, you sink. But if you just relax and you lie there, you're never going to sink because you've got a natural buoyancy. Well, the same is true in the river of the Spirit. You're not going to sink because God's carrying you as long as you don't panic. He'll carry you even if you do panic. But you see what I mean? Now, there are... we're not going through the book of Revelation this week, you'll be glad to know. But there's massive warnings about those in churches who just become spectators and stand on the back watching as everybody else goes by. Because in the long run, you won't be there. You don't want to be a spectator. You don't want to be passive. You don't want to be resisting the move of God. It'll take you out of your comfort zone, like I've said, and it'll sweep you off your feet, and stuff will happen that you don't like much. But in the end, it's going to be brilliant. True, Ange? You know, we've all had stuff that God's taken us into things and we think, oh no, I don't want to have to deal with this stuff. But once you've done it, it's brilliant. It's fantastic. And that's where he's taking this church. We are flowing in the river of the Spirit of God. All you have to do is stay with it. Stay with God, stay in it, and you'll float. Don't be a spectator, because we'll leave you behind. We really don't want to do that. So just let his love flow through you. Let his spirit flow through you, and enjoy the ride. Now, two things before we totally finish. That's me done, really. That's the message. Two things. Number one, you might be somebody who has been a bit of a spectator, has been going, oh, well, I'm not sure about this Holy Spirit stuff. I think I'll just stand on the bank and... Now, if that's you, if that has been you, then you need to repent. You need to say to God, look, God, I'm sorry. I realize I didn't even know I was doing it, but I have been doing it, and I need to stop doing it and allow you to just carry me in your river. And if that's you, there's an opportunity this morning. You don't need me. You just sit there where you are and you just repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't even know I was doing it. But I don't want to be a spectator. I don't want to be left behind. I want to be in the river with everybody else. And if you do that, and if you repent, and if you want to come out, we will pray this morning, today, for God to fill you afresh with an extra portion, an extra outpouring of his Holy Spirit. And the second thing is, what are the leaves of the trees for? Healing of the nations. So we're going to pray for healing. So if you're here this morning and you need some kind of healing for whatever it might be, then also I invite you to come out. We will pray for you that God heals you. I can't heal you. Dave can't heal you. Even Ange can't heal you. But the Spirit of God can. And he does. So let's just stand for a moment. If you would be so kind. Lord, we just want to thank you that you are so gracious and so generous that you've included us to be in the river of life, that you've put your Holy Spirit in us. And we just say, Lord God, we want more. We want more. We are so thankful for all that you've done in our lives. And yeah, we want to go deeper. We want to go deeper. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you want prayer for healing, come to the front and we will pray for you. If you've repented of being a spectator and you want an extra portion of Holy Spirit, come to the front and we will pray for you. Everybody else, God bless you. Have the most amazing week ever. It's going to be hot and sunny, allegedly. And it's going to be a fantastic week. God bless you. Meeting's over.